We're in Romans chapter 16. We are in this section in which Paul is focusing on fellowship. He presents his personal greetings in such a way so as to instruct us as to what fellowship really is all about. He names people who have worked together with him in the gospel, who have labored together, which means to work to the point of exhaustion, who are beloved to him in the Lord. Fellowship in the early church wasn't at church meetings. It was daily. It was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, interaction, prayer, and service to Christ, as well as learning together. But now in verses 17 through 20, he presents to us proper discipline for the threat to fellowship in the church. It has always been the basis of false teaching or people with the wrong motives. And so we saw last week that he commanded in verse 17, "Now I appeal to you, brethren, mark the ones, skopos." Look for the ones. I mean, he's talking about literally scoping out the group. Look for those who are causing. Notice the participle there. It's their continuous MO. They are constantly causing divisions and offenses, constantly. Contrary to the doctrine or teaching which you yourselves learned. So he says, I appeal to you not only to look for them, but I command you, avoid them. Avoid them. For they are such who are serving not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, which represents fleshly desire. And through useful or graceful words and eloquent speeching, they are deceiving the hearts of the simple. So he warns us and tells us what to do about those who are disruptive to fellowship. Last week, our focus was on discipline itself, because there are those who say some of Paul's instruction to us on how to handle things in the church, they're a little harsh. And we believe more in love than we do in judgment. Well, the Bible tells us not to judge, that is, whether a person's going to heaven or hell, but he says we are to judge. We saw from 1 Corinthians 5 that there was a man in the church in Corinth who was sleeping with his stepmother. And they approached him on it, and he refused to repent, so they just let it go, forgot about it. Weren't going to deal with it. Paul says, I'll deal with it. If he refuses to repent, remove him and turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Let him live in his sin with no Christian fellowship, for the destruction of his flesh, so that he will be saved and restored in the day of the Lord Jesus. So restoration for when Jesus comes is the key. That's the goal of this. But he went on to say that if anybody is named a brother and is involved, and he gave a whole list of sin, you should not eat with them, neither should you socially mingle with them. That's pretty harsh. But Paul says this discipline is for his repentance and restoration, and you've just basically said, well, we've gone as far as we can. We don't want to rock the boat. You know, his grandmother and grandmother founded the church, and they put a lot of money into the church, so we don't really want to rock the boat with this guy. And Paul says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of unrepented sin can spiritually affect the whole group. We saw from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, he says, isn't there anybody amongst you who is wise who can judge amongst you about these legal matters or these offenses that you have offended each other with? Do you have to go to court before unbelievers and get it settled? Don't you know that we're going to judge angels? And we're going to judge the world. We're going to help judge the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 21, Paul says, well, you have tolerated people who will rip you off. When I ministered to you, I got a job and I supported myself so that I would not be a burden to you. But these false apostles come into town and you give them all your money. Forgive me for the wrong of supporting myself. Didn't know you're going to give your money away. But he says, you tolerate these people. Toleration is not love. If a teaching is false, it is a false teaching. If a teacher is continually teaching false teaching, he is a false teacher. And we don't whitewash over it and say, well, we need to love. No. Love is discipline. As we said last week, Chuck Dobson has a book out called Tough Love. Love is tough when it has to be for the good. And he has another book, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. If you're a non-confrontational person, parenting isn't for you. You got to confront the issues. There must be discipline. So by appealing to them to scope out, look for those who are doing this, and avoid them, turn away from them. Sounds pretty harsh to some people. They think that this isn't love. But what Paul is doing is out of love, he is concerned about the preservation of Christian fellowship. He's concerned that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And he's not about to compromise in order to spare one person might have hurt feelings. The church is to be disciplining. But let's look at this person today and find out who these people are. I beseech you, brothers, to observe or look for those who are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you yourselves have learned. Two words. The word divisions is only found three times in the New Testament. Its main one is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, where it presents divisions as being the works of the flesh. And the word causing as a participle shows that that's all this person does. Causing divisions rather than unity. We have had people come here in our fellowship to try to cause distractions. Divisions, not just distractions, but divisions. They separate themselves off from fellowship, or they try to separate other people away from fellowship. These are people who are separatists. And I think it's very important that we understand that when a Christian visits 73 churches in 1 year, looking for a church to go to, constantly finding things wrong for them not to go, that person's a separatist. Of course there's going to be something wrong. You ought to be listening to the doctrine. Is it true teaching? Is it true doctrine? Is it where the Lord wants you to be? The people might rub you wrong. You might not get along with some personalities you don't get along with, but that's not a reason for quitting or leaving. as Paul said in Ephesians, that we are to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We're already united in Christ if you have received Christ. We already have the unity. It's just being aware of the ways in which Satan tries to drive a wedge between believers. There are people who have fellowshiped with us in the past here that don't fellowship anymore because they didn't get enough attention. Only 4 people said hi to me last Sunday. Yeah, well, sometimes I get less than that. So, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the people just don't have enough love. Well, join the crowd, because I'm sure Jesus, if he was going to go to the cross, say, there's just no love in this at all. Forget going to the cross. Yeah, it takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice in order to keep the unity. That's just the way it is. But there are those who are constantly causing divisions. They are separatists. Now, not before, but now when people come to me and say, well, I've just tried 5 straight churches and here are the things that I found wrong with them. We thought we'd come out and try yours. I'd say, oh, we're worse than that. Don't even try. We're worse than that because, if you're not looking for the Lord, and if you're looking for a church, this won't happen for you. In the past, when that type of person comes, they're sitting just waiting and listening for something wrong or someone to treat them in the wrong way. Everybody always looking at everybody. When he said hi, he didn't smile. Always picking things out. So now I just tell people, no, we're worse. You don't want to drive way out there for that. Besides that, you might not never make it home. They used to have a rumor, lots of rumors about Sisquoc Community Church. But it was rumored that we, in our church services, that we sacrifice animals. Well, but that's why I tell people, we've heard a lot about that church out there, but we're thinking of trying it. Well, you might not make it home. You got to be careful. One of the most devastating rumors, I thought, just talk about scraping the bottom of the barrel, that all of our women out here are prostitutes. And they're prostituting other men to get them to come to church. So I was angry and shocked, but then I said, I really don't know what everybody does during the week, so, I'll check into it. But that's what people say in order to get people to think badly. They are continually causing divisions and offenses. The word offenses is the Greek word scandalon. They're scandalizing people and things. We are told not to offend. Now, is not making reference to hurting someone's feelings or disagreeing with somebody or getting somebody miffed or upset about something, that's not the offense, that's not what is meant by offenses. Scandalon actually means to place something in the pathway to keep people from going by or to send them in a different direction than on the straight pathway. So what the Bible is saying is not to offend someone in following the truth in Christ. Now, it might mean that you offend somebody, maybe hurt their feelings. And because they are weak in the faith, they won't come to fellowship and you feel convicted that God wants you to go to that person and apologize and express to them you hope they come back. It's placing anything in someone's path that prevents them from following the truth in Christ. That also involves teaching. It would be offensive for me to lead somebody in a different direction with some other gospel that fits the American culture and way of life but isn't the truth of God's word. I'm actually leading them away from the Lord. Jesus called Satan, Matthew 16:33. Jesus called Satan, "Get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me." That's when Peter heard that the Lord was going to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die, and he says, he rebuked Jesus, interesting. He said, "This will never happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you an offense to me." In other words, Peter was putting something in that path that Jesus had to go down to go to the cross. Peter was saying, "No way you're going down that path." So he says, you're my opponent, Peter. And you're scandalizing me. You're hindering me from going down the path that God wants me to go down. But then there are other uses of this word scandalize in the scriptures that is a good sense. In Matthew 15, you remember Jesus and the disciples were walking through the cornfields and they were rubbing the grains in their hands, and as the chaff fell off, they were eating the grain because they were hungry. And so the legalists, the leaders who were the legalists, came to them and says, "Don't you know that you have broken the rules? You're supposed to wash before eating." And we're talking about, you know, wash your hands, get the dirt off before eating. They're talking about ceremonial washing before you eat. "Don't you know that you just violated the traditions of the elders?" And Jesus says, "Well, don't you know that by the tradition of the elders, you violate the very word of God?" And as they left, the disciples said to Jesus, Matthew 15:12, "Don't you know that you offended them?" The disciples told Jesus. "You scandalized them." Jesus says, "Let it alone. That which is not planted of my Father must be rooted up." So there's a good sense in which someone's going down the wrong road. And you oppose that or put an opposition in their way. Yes, they were offended, but not offended in the sense of not following Christ. They were offended in following their own traditions. Jesus said, "Let it alone. If they're offended, that's good. That which is not planted of my Father must be rooted up. So let the Spirit of God root it up." Same words used for that too. So Jesus purposely put something in their path that scandalized them as far as fulfilling the traditions of the elders rather than the Word of God. And Jesus said, "That's good," if they were offended. So he says, "Now I appeal to your brothers, look for the ones who are continually causing divisions and offenses." The reason why we're to look for this kind of person or these kinds of actions is because it happens all the time. We can say subtle things, we can do subtle things that bring division within the body of Christ. I've been continually baited recently from people from another church as they tell me the things that are being taught that are wrong and things that are going on that's wrong. I really have to hold my tongue The Lord does it for me because I don't. And to point out to them it's false teaching. You say, well, maybe you should do that. No, I'm dealing with people who are not going to leave. They're not going to seek the truth of the word. They're just upset that it's going on in their church. So I just told them that was too bad and I'd be praying. Don't want to bring more division. I don't want to be the guy, because it's happened before. There's another church, a different church in town, where somebody came and said, all our pastor does is preach a social message based on the social happenings of our day, quoting from different poets and books, but never teaching the word. Well, of course, you know, that gets me all riled up. So what do? They go back and tell the pastor. You know what Pastor Bill Klein said about you? That's what happens. That's what they do. So then I get in trouble and get accused of causing division. So I have to get on the phone and say, no, I don't want any of your people. Don't worry about it. Sorry. You know. There are subtle things that we do that cause divisions between brothers and sisters. And things that are not so subtle. Now notice this, it's not just divisions and offenses, but it's divisions and offenses contrary or against the doctrine or teaching which you yourselves learned. Divisions and offenses that are contrary to the word. If it's divisions and offenses that are according to the word, you're in good shape. If it isn't contrary to the word, which you have learned, because he basically says, separate yourself, cause a division, avoid them. Aren't you dividing? Yes. I'm avoiding those people who are constantly causing divisions and constantly offending people by telling them things and doing things that are against the truth of the word of God. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 that we've studied so many times. In fact, I saw an email this week where a woman wrote to somebody else and asked the question, aren't we putting too much importance on the Apostle Paul? Almost as if you're putting Paul above Jesus. Well, Paul is the Lord's appointed man. He was chosen that God would reveal the secrets of Christ and the church to him, the mysteries of Christ. And Paul's the one that said in Galatians 1 that he received his gospel from Jesus Christ himself. And to the point that he says in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if someone preaches any other gospel to you than what you received, let him be accursed. So Paul is saying our gospel came from Jesus Christ. Anybody that preaches differently, let him be accursed. Well, if I were to say that today, just as a general statement, boy, people jump all over me. Paul said it. I don't have to say it for myself based just because Paul did. Paul told us this. So the first thing we do is we correct the person who's teaching falsely, and if they don't take the correction, we have to ask them to leave because their motive of division and offense is dividing the body of Christ and keeping people from following the truth of Christ. And that's like a sickness and a disease within the body. If the person doesn't repent, I mean, if that's the type of person they are, they're always going to be that way. Then the body of Christ has to observe and avoid the ones who are bringing about such things within the body of Christ. Avoid them. Now, next week, we're going to get into the next verse about what it means to be simple. These people are teaching in such a way, they're very charismatic in personality, they're very charismatic in their speech, and they overwhelm the simple people and lead them astray. What does that mean? So we'll get into that next week. Our Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your word that gives us the instructions that we need. Certainly love for you and love for the body of Christ and love for your spirit and your work in our midst is the number one priority for love. And if one of us or someone decides to cause a distraction or cause a hindrance, we must deal with the situation so that we work in harmony together and all attention is on Christ. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. And we pray that you'd cause us to be sensitive to how we are functioning to either keep the unity or bring division within the body of Christ. Whether we are offending people and leading them down the wrong way, or whether we're putting a hindrance in front of someone from following Christ who might be weaker in the faith than we. Pray that you'd help us to pay attention to our function, to make sure that we are maintaining that unity that all believers have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.